She wasn't sure.
January or February.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it, she was born in a place called Hilltown.
Uh-huh. You know where that is? Close here.
Yeah, it's. And last time I was talking to her, she was saying it was like, you know, where the cypress, the line of cypress is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like right on the edge of it, mm-hmm. on the edge of the cypress that borders on the Everglades.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So it's probably in Collier or Day, you know, somewhere
mm-hmm.
over there.
Mm-hmm. And around sometime around 1900, but we don't know exactly when.
Yeah.
Do Seminole people have any kind of a calendar, you know, that they used to have, traditional?
They used to have calendars, yeah, but
to count the years.
I don't know if anybody
yeah.
keeps it anymore.
Uh-huh.
They used to have those strings that were tied.
Yeah.
And
oh, really?
They used to have hides and sometimes there was like knots tied on cloth, and there were certain things tied to it that reminded people of what events took place that year.
Uh-huh.
And they kept count.
Do you know what some of the big events were that they would use to keep track? Or was it more personal? Or
a lot of it was, no, it was not personal, it was major events. Like maybe they had a severe hurricane that one year, or maybe they saw a comet, for instance, you know, that one year they said that it fell, a comet or a meteorite fell, and wiped out a whole island that they used to camp in, and it became like one of those springs.
Uh-huh.
And then at other times, there may be something unusual happening, like in the skies, or,
uh-huh.
you know, maybe a big comet went by.
So that would have been something that a lot
yeah.
of people saw.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. So that became
about,
a mark in time.
Uh-huh.
So you might date your age so many years
according
after that comet
that
or whatever.
Happen. Uh-huh. uh-huh. And
that's what we do.
yeah.
1994.
Uh-huh.
yeah. Interesting. And then for the, during the year?
During the year, they just divided into the four seasons.
Mm-hmm. And then the moons?
Uh-huh. Moon phases. And they also used... that regulated their ceremonial year.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was, you know, if they said I was born like at Cornet's time, that meant it'd be somewhere around May or June.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it depends on whether it's recent years or prior to the war. Because prior to the war, they used to have four ceremonial calendars.
Prior to what war?
The Seminole Wars,
uh-huh.
the removal days.
Uh-huh.
Prior to that, they used to have four ceremonies per year. And it depended on, you know, like if they said I was born in the, during the winter ceremony, then they would mean harvest time or hunting dance, you know, and you knew.
Mm-hmm.
What time of the year they were born. They were born either August, October, November, September.
So I would take it then that I got a low battery sign. So I would so are birthdays not a big thing in Seminole culture?
Birthdays are not a big thing.
Yeah. Because there's no real effort to keep track of exactly the day.
No, not really
uh-huh.
necessary.
Uh-huh.
that is something that was introduced into our culture, celebration of birthdays. Uh-huh. And what they did was they just counted how many summers you are, you know.
Uh-huh.
If somebody asked how old the child is, they would just say the child is so many summers old.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
I wonder why summers instead of winter.
They seem to mark the year by the summers, by the passing summers.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that's what they say.
High water.
Yeah, I think maybe because the word Lakhachi is what we use to mark, to say year. And that also means summer.
Ah, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you do sewing and painting,
uh-huh,
as well as baskets and what else?
Yeah, I tell stories.
Uh huh.
And I teach arts.
Uh huh. At Brighton, you teach at Brighton?
No, not there. I do it by contracting with other people, whoever wants to learn.
Uh-huh.
So I've been like all over the state demonstrating up in Georgia, mm-hmm, Alabama, and Mississippi. And at one time, James Billy sent me to a museum opening, and it was a reception. And they wanted speakers, and I got to be one of the speakers. So I got to talk about my art over there. They were having a seminar exhibit.
Where was that?
In San Francisco.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
That's great.
Yeah, it was.
When was that? Remember?
It was June, about 2 years ago, I think.
Because we... In the department I work in at the Folklife Bureau,
mm-hmm,
we also sell the videos and all that. And we got an order from San Francisco around that time. And that was probably why.
Yeah.
It was a little bit, maybe about 3 years ago we got that order. Big order. I think they ordered everything we had.
Uh-huh. They wanted an exhibit on Creeks and Seminoles,
uh-huh,
because there are some of our people, surprisingly enough, living over there.
In San Francisco?
Uh-huh. There are some of the urbanized Indians, you know, that, mm-hmm, the government had transplanted into, you know, surrounding communities,
mm-hmm,
and they ended up over there for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of them were in the military or something.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And they were there. And sure enough, you know, they come out and saw the exhibit, talk to us.
Oh, that was
so
great.
Nice. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I bet. Did you enjoy working on this thing that was just on TV?
Oh, yeah.
How the West Was Lost.
That was really, uh-huh, quite an honor. I mean, to be, uh-huh, chosen as one of the ones.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Well, you did a great job. No, it was very good.
Didn't see the other part yet. I only have one, and that was, mm-hmm, the one that aired last week. Was it?
Yeah, the one that you're in.
Uh huh.
Are you in another part?
Yeah. There's other parts. There's three parts to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's supposed to be one, I think, this coming week. I'm not sure. But,
well, I think there's seven parts total.
Yeah. Well, this the other three are from the West,
uh-huh,
of Indians of the West.
Right.
Uh huh. And I saw some of those, and those were excellent. Mm-hmm. But I only saw one of the ones that we did. Mm-hmm. But there are different people in it, I'm sure.
Yeah. And do you have daughters that you're gonna teach the herbal medicine to?
Yeah, my daughter is old enough to take this seriously.
Uh-huh.
And
how old is she?
She's 30. She's gonna be 32, mm-hmm, I think. And she's taking it seriously. I've always told her she had to know how to speak her language and She never really bothered to speak it, but she could understand it.
Uh-huh.
And so she's now trying to practice. She sounds like an English-speaking person trying to learn how. And then she's got a little bit of Greek accent, too, because her father's Greek, and he speaks the language, you know, between him and his mother. They used to just talk to her all the time, and in Greek, too. So
now, the language you speak is Seminole? Miccosukee. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And there is a language they call Seminole, or is it just Greek?
No, there isn't a language called Seminole because there is no people called Seminole.
I see.
Uh-huh. Because the people who speak Creek are Uchisogi. And the people who speak Miccosukee are Hichi. And so there's two origins of people.
So do you refer to yourself as a Seminole or Miccosukee? Or?
We do now.
Which?
Both. I mean, you know.
Well, let me ask you, when I write stuff for the book, what would you what term would you prefer that I use?
Well, we're politically it's correct to say we are Seminole.
Uh-huh.
But originally, you know, our ancestors were Miccosukee. Mm-hmm. Are Miccosukee-speaking Hidjidi people. Or the Red Sticks.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll call the Red Sticks.
I just want to make sure I get it right.
Yeah. So you could say we are Miccosukee Seminole. Or Miccosukee-speaking Seminole.
Okay.
Or, you know, you could say Creek-speaking Seminole.
Should I call it Seminole Herbal Medicine or Miccosukee? Or I want to do what you like.
Well,
what you prefer.
I don't know, because this is common. This is one thing that's in common to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're Miccosukee, Creek, or a Miccosukee member down there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are one people of one way. And and it was at one time the Muscogee way.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody subscribed to the same, this was the medicine way.
Mm-hmm.
And when it broke up, everybody tried to hang on.
Mm-hmm.
To this, and this is what survives now. So it's hard to say. I guess because we are Seminole, you might say herbal medicines of the Seminoles.
Okay. Yeah, just.
Yeah.
It's but no wonder it's confusing.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it's been muddled up, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you can't get muddled up in it.
Yeah.
But if you know, if somebody has told you, you know, the roots of it, it's not that confusing.
Uh-huh.
But some people are very confused and it's never found their way out yet. I've known adults older than I am, you know, people who are supposed to be more knowledgeable than I am, come up to me and argue with me, you know, that, I mean, they would just come and insist that this thing was wrong, and that this is the way it's supposed to be, and that's the way it is. You know, that's fine and dandy, but if I don't know it, you know, I know where they're coming from. It's just, you know, they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I will excuse them. I just let them be. So
Is Susie's husband passed?
Uh-huh.
And who was he?
It used to be John.
John Billy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he passed on years ago. It was a different time. It seemed to be a change. I had to talk. He's pretty close to 30 years since he passed away.
And what's his name?
Pilot.
Pilot? Bob. Bob.
He's the last one, he's the baby. She and folks, but they all died. She's outlived. But you find it too, like Timalaco. Oh, he's the only one that's married. Him and his sister are the only two left. So
how many children did she have?
She said nine.
Nine? All?
The first one died, the very first one. Uh-huh. And then she lost the seventh one. And then the other two are still alive. So
were there?
She's got nine. And they all gone except two left. All of them.
You say they were mostly boys?
Yeah, most of the boys are gone. And she's only had one girl.
Only one daughter?
And him and the girl.
What's her name?
Agnes.
Agnes.
Agnes Cyphers.
Okay, Agnes Cyphers.
Yeah, you know her.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
She's Jeanette's mom.
Okay. I'll try and keep it straight. I read the Seminole newspaper. You know, we get it in the office at work, and so I try and keep the names and the faces.
Man, nanzo e ya newspaper o mo mga man. Sila ispunta na ha dahil man hetsis filet man ay mas kahetsum deno tsa yung na. Ay yan ay abawo tsa hetsum deno tsa yung na.
So Agnes Cyphers is her daughter, and Jeanette is her granddaughter.
And she is my grandmother's. Their mamas were first cousins. So.
Susie's mothers.
Yeah, and my great grandmother were cousins.
Okay.
And before that, I guess they had a cousin. She had many children. But there was two ladies that produced the majority of us, I guess, or something. And one had like 10 or 12 kids, and the other one, you know, just... So there were many cousins.
Yeah, in the old days, I think everybody did that.
Yeah. And so that's how we have a very extended family now. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to keep track of them. Even in my own family, it's like that, the ones that came from my grandmother. It's hard to keep track of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maya, yeah, in her immediate family there was 10 of them, she said, and she's the only one left now.
Uh-huh.
We lost Buffalo here not too long ago.
That was her brother.
And then her sister, we just lost her sister. About 6 months ago. I was in September. I was up at the Junior Museum when she passed away.
Mm. Mm.
So that was her sister.
Mm-hmm. And Buffalo was Buffalo Tiger?
Jim.
Buffalo Jim. Anyway, she did in September. And just prior to that, sometime around June or July, it was really hot when they lost Buffalo, their brother. One of their brothers is my husband's grandfather. He was his mother's dad. So my husband's related to them too. Mm-hmm. What's your husband's name?
Archie John.
Okay. Well,